last week was in Mississippi preaching. And it's no place like home. I thank God for home and home folks. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, no matter where I go, I always find the Lord to be sweet and to be near. And I thank God we have that kind of Lord this morning. Aren't you glad that He's just not in a box? And aren't you glad He's not on a chain? But He is the God Jehovah. He's omnipresent. He's every place all the time. That's amazing about our God. In the book of 1 Chronicles today, we want to start reading over in chapter number 13 of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 13. If you'll stand with us, as our custom is to honor the reading of the Word of God, if you can do that, in 1 Chronicles, chapter number 13. If you have a Scofield Bible, you can find that around page 470. 1 Chronicles 13. The Bible said, "And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and if that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even to the entering of Hemath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up and all Israel to Bala, that is to Kirjath-Jearim, which belongeth to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing and with harps and with psalteries, and with timbrels and with cymbals and with trumpets. When they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Peri-Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how should I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside in the house of Obedom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obedom in his house 3 months. And I like this. And the Lord blessed the house of Obedom and all that he had. You may be seated this morning. I appreciate you standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God. Now, I want to give a little background this morning before I give the title of the message. Here, David has been promoted king. And David has went some 70 years now without the Ark of God. Can I tell you, the Ark of God was very precious to the tabernacle worship in those days. The Ark of God was a small box, about 4 foot long and 2 foot wide and 2 foot deep. In that box, it housed three items. One was the two tables of stone of the commandments of the handwriting of God. Number two, it was a clay pot, or a jar, as you please, of manna. And then thirdly, it was the rod, Aaron's rod, that budded. God said, put those in the ark, put a lid on top, and it will be overlaid with gold. And upon the top of that is the mercy seat, and it will be two cherubims facing each other. And God said, there I will commune with you. Can I tell you this morning that the ark is a great representation of the presence of God? How sad it is that churches is going through formality this morning without the ark, the presence of God. May I tell you, as one of the brethren prayed this morning, God, if your presence is not here, then we simply wasted our time today. And so here we see that David began to realize something was missing. And in this ark, you'll notice they did something to bring it back in the place of worship. David sins for it. And now out of verse number 7, it says they carried the ark of God in a new cart. Now, that sounds good unless you know a little background. God said the only way you're to carry this ark is you're going to carry it with two poles run through a stave on each corner. And when you run it through there, it's going to be four men that bear that ark. And God said on top of that, not only will you carry it, but if you touch it, you're going to die. Matter of fact, the Bible said now the reason they did not have the ark, the Philistines had captured it from the children of Israel. And they had taken it back to their homeland. And the Bible said they had taken the lid off of that box. And it killed some over 50,000 men that God brought an approach upon them because they went against the Word of God. Can I tell you this morning that God's Word is forever settled in heaven. And God means business about what He's already said. See, it don't matter what you think. It don't matter what I think. I hear this a lot. Well, you know what? That's God's Word, and I believe it, and that settles it. Honey, it don't settle nothing whether you believe it or not. God's Word is God's Word this morning, and He holds it above His name. Now, a little background, that looked pretty good when that little new shiny cart come to town, and there was the box of hauling God on the back. But there was an issue there. God said, your method's wrong. I hear a lot of boys talking today, well, the message is the same, but we've changed the method. Can I tell you this morning, God is very involved in the method in the Word of God. He said He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Can I tell you that in the Baptist church, our forefathers used to praise Him and shout the house down. The old-timey saints of God, the ladies would wear the hair up in a bun, and they'd shout the bobby pins out of their hair. Now, don't look at me cross-eyed this morning, honey. I'll preach to you for this hour. So, and we can go down to the ball game and we can clap for the Red Devils. Go, Devils, go, Devils. But we get down the house of God and we can't say a word. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord praise it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So I come down here to say so this morning. It's all right to praise our God of the Bible. Now, there's about 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 things I want to say and I'll be done. I want to say, first of all, in verse 1, there was a needful concern. Thank God that somebody's concerned for somebody else. I want to tell you, Mom and Daddies, I'm not only concerned for you, I'm concerned for your little ones. Because without the presence of God, your family's not going to make it. Your babies ain't going to get saved. You can't be blessed without the presence of God. Oh, we see that there was a needful concern. You see, they lacked the presence of God. I like what David done. Now, I don't go along with so much of what he done, but I thank God for what he done. The Bible said this in chapter 13, verse 1, and David consulted with the captain. Thank God for a needful concern. You see, they lacked the presence of God. They had left the precepts of God, and so therefore they limited the power of God. Now, I'm this type of preacher. It don't matter what you think or not. If God's told me to do it, I'm going to do it. And so David had it on his heart to do it first. And it didn't matter if all the people went with him or not. Somebody say amen. I throw a book right there. I mean, it's hard to get 300 together and get everybody to say amen. Amen. Praise God. If we was to take a vote around here, what color do this building? That thing would look like a zebra. I like Moses' mentality. Just line up, follow the men of God, and we'll go somewhere. Amen. Thank God. But I'm glad there's a needful concern. Aren't you glad somebody had a concern for you one day? Boy, wouldn't it be a big change in our country if somebody had that kind of concern of where our country's headed? Wouldn't it be a change in our Baptist churches if preachers had a concern about no presence of God? Could you imagine walking through this life without the presence of God? You know, if any of you know anything about Wedowee, Alabama, they've got a wave down at Wedowee. If you'll leave Bowden and you'll go down 46 toward Wedowee, you'll notice when you meet people in the road, they're doing this. And everybody has a tendency to wave back. Well, what are you saying there, preacher? Well, I'm saying, you know something? If you'll go to waving toward him, he'll wave back at you this morning. And sometimes I'm in a car all by myself and listening to a good gospel song. Somebody say amen right there. Now this achy, break your heart, and this thank you tractor sexy, it ain't going to bring no worship in the car. But if you'll get you one of them old-timey songs plugged in your radio, and I mean, you can go down the road and all of a sudden you're throwing your hands up. Ain't nobody in that car but you and the Lord. Everybody in Wedowee, Alabama, just a wave. Why, they think you're the friendliest person in town. If we could just get the presence of God back in our home, back in our churches, and back in our cars, oh, what a joy it'd be to walk through this world. Could you imagine walking through this world without the fellowship of Jesus? There was a needful concern. Thank God that the Lord put it on old David's heart. Ain't you glad you met some men of God that God had put something on the heart? Now they've been a blessing to you in this old world. There was a needful concern. Preachers, can I tell you real quick on just a topic note there? Don't wait for everybody to be with you. You won't do nothing. Don't wait for everybody to say amen. Everybody ain't going to say amen. Amen. If God's put it in your heart, you just do it and trust Him. It'll work out. And so a needful concern. They lacked the presence of God. They had left the precepts of God, and they had limited the power of God. It's amazing to me, the Baptist people, that their children have never experienced the power of God. You know, used to, the Baptist had the fireball in the church. Now that fireball has got cold and it's went out. But honey, let me tell you, the same God that preached in this country 100 years ago is still the same God that wrote this Bible, that can move to and fro through this church, and He deserves our praise. And what a lift Him every chance we get. And get out of the way and let God do great and mighty things in this day and this hour. You say, preacher, my home's too far gone. It ain't too far gone for my God. You say, my boy's too far gone. Honey, let me tell you something. God's got a rope tied to Him out there somewhere. And somewhere another slack's going to get out of that rope. And God's going to jerk him back toward this house. Your prayer's going to catch him one morning. And oh my, I wish that we could do like David did, have his attitude. Everybody said, David, the giant's too big. You cannot beat the devil. Oh, David, he's too big. David said, no. Said he's too big to miss. Can I tell you, honey, there's nothing too hard for the Lord this morning. Oh, I see a needful concern. Number two, I see normal conditions. In verse number 3, notice this. He said, let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. Saul was on the throne. Saul was the president. And that's the normal conditions I've noticed today in leadership. They do not want to inquire about nothing about what God's got to say. I tell you what, cure our economy. Get the Bible running it. Amen. Get people off welfare and handouts and put them back to work. I'll give you something like that. Get our prisoners out of chain gang watching cable TV. Put them back with a brush blade up down the fence row. And these thugs walk in and rape and kill your children and rape your wives and destroy your home. If they'd go and do what God said in the book of Romans, we'd put the fear of God back in this country. But now, I've noticed when liberal, don't look at me cross-eyed, I'll really preach to you this. I've been gone about 2 weeks, I'll preach a little bit. Honey, what's wrong with our country? We got liberals running our country. There are no gray areas in this Bible. It's black or white. It's still right or it's still wrong. Thank you. I was afraid if y'all didn't say amen, I'd quit preaching. But you know something, this needful concern, but this normal condition, I like this. David did not try to separate the government from God, but he endeavored to bring God into the government. He wanted the royal city to become the holy city. In Proverbs 29 and verse number 2, you can hold your place, we'll be back. This rabbit got it, we got to run him in the briar patch a little while. Proverbs 29 and verse number 2, there the Bible simply says this, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Normal conditions. He did not legislate to stop prayer or reading of the Word of God in our schools. David was a man that said this in the book of Psalms, chapter number 9 and verse number 17. Psalms 9 and 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And honey, you better be sure America's headed there this morning. We shook our fists in the face of God, said we don't need a national day of prayer. We don't need the Bible in our schoolhouses. We don't need prayer at our ball game. We don't even let our teachers discipline our kids. So America's forgot God. And you better be getting your families under the sound of the gospel and getting them saved, because this thing's a winding down.
He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come, and they're here this morning. Have you ever thought you'd see the day when a governor would stand on national TV and promote homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle and kiss another man on the stage? Sin still sin, friend. God loves sinners, but He don't love our sin. Shacking up, still shacking up. Somebody say amen right there. I preach to you, don't. No, I preach to that. Let's back off some of that. That's what's wrong with our country now. These little old spineless preachers got up, scared they're going to offend somebody. But I thank God there's a man of God got up one day and challenged my heart with this book. And so I had a choice. I could line up or get out. Amen. Line up with the Word of God. Get right. Preacher won't bother you. Shake that head right there. I don't like that preacher. Hit dog hollers. You ever throw the rock in a pack of dogs? Now, I'm just a country preacher. I'm just comfortable. All I know to do is give you illustrations about how I was raised with. Now, notice if I ever throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the only one hit was the one hollered. And so it ain't the preacher's fault. And let me tell you, it ain't the police's fault that your kids have broke the law. And it ain't the teacher's fault because your young'uns won't sit down and act like somebody. I'm having fun preaching this morning. I figure I better get some of you while I can, because you won't be here tonight to hear it. Hey, lady, punch him right there and say, that preacher's right. Normal condition. But now, I want to say this. Not only an evil concern in a normal condition, but there's a noble congregation there in verse 4. I don't know how they did it, but they did it. And all the congregation, how many? Lord, I don't know if that's Baptist or not. I want to be sure I'm reading this right. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all people. You know what they said? They said, David, you know what? You're right, buddy. Said, we're tired of walking through here without the presence of God. Said, David, you know, you brought some light to us. That thing's been gone 70 years, David. David, they some of my youngers don't even know what the presence of God is because he's been gone too long. My Lord, can I give you a new title to my sermon? He's been gone too long. Y'all put that on the internet, would you? He's been gone too long. And so they said, David, you know what? It's right. I notice when God is here, things work better. You ever notice when God is in it, things went better? You ever notice when you paid your tithes, your truck run better? You ever notice when you paid your tithes, your washing machine run a lot better? Man, we first got married, started out, and God saved me, and I wasn't tithing because I was stinky. And we had no washing machine. She could cut it on spin cycle. I think that's on there, ain't it? Spin cycle. I ain't sure it is. She says it is. Somebody say amen right there. But I mean, that thing, and you're going to walk plumb out of the room. And that thing would tear up and break down. I was always calling the repairman down here, Church of God feller. Good man. Good man. And something dawned on me one day. You know, if I'd give God what He wanted from the get-go, then I'd have to quit giving it to other people that would give it to Him. Then I could get the blessing and just give it to Him myself. It dawned on me one day. I said, you know that man fishing your wash? He's a good man. Godly man. Holy Ghost said, I bet he tithes. Said, boy, your stuff will run a lot better if you put God's word. And you know what? He said, hey, the church house will go a lot better if you got the presence of God. Well, if you got the presence of God, that's all that matters, friend. The presence of God will make you overlook your neighbor. The presence of God will get you focused off of your problems and get you looking toward another world. My goodness, that little old baby up here singing a while ago. If y'all wouldn't have thought that I done went plumb charismatic on you, I just got up and run around the building like we done Friday night at Count Me. But I know none of Easter's would have come back. But when the presence of God's in a church, it goes a lot better. And I've noticed when the presence of God on preaching, it's a whole lot better. Now, I would say none of you probably looked at your watch unless you're convicted. I don't know what time it is, but honey, when the Spirit of God's on a sermon, don't time fly. Well, I mean, don't time fly. I preached for a man in Mississippi last week. He said, I only preach about 25 minutes. I said, uh-oh. I said, I'm out of my environment this morning. He said, I always like to preach and leave them coming back for some more. And boy, my wife was there. She said amen to that. You know, my sermon ain't like a stick of bologna. I just can't cut it off anywhere. I got to get finished with it because it's going to be gone in 3 hours. I got to get on with it. And you're going to be gone. I sure got to get with it. So they all said, that's right, David. We need the presence of the Lord. There's nothing. Let me tell you, I want you to write it down. I said that there's nothing no boring. There's nothing no more stifling than to go to church without the Spirit of God. I'd rather be in a deer stand, Brother Mike. I'm just being honest with you. But if you, where the Spirit of God is, things will work out better. When you got the presence of God, things go better every day. So, they said, David, you're right. So not only do we see this needful concern and this normal condition, but there's a noble congregation. You see, they had a contagious passion. I'm glad our church is a church in the old way and a new day. And I'm going to tell you, this ain't the only church preaching. This ain't the only church worshiping. There's a lot of good churches. But honey, there's a whole lot done brought this new cart in too. Now you wait till I get over there. I'm going to ride this new cart a little while. And if I come by, y'all can jump on with it with me. But don't you touch it, it'll kill you. Now, I want you to notice this. Oh, my, there was a noble congregation. But fourthly, watch, there was a new cart. A new cart. Now, I'll give you some background about that new cart. The Bible said in verse 7, and they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And watch this. David and Israel played before God with all their might. They don't change nothing. I don't care if they did mean to do right. And watch this. But when they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the ark stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God. That's where every one of us is going to die. You know that? Before God. He didn't die before David. He died before God. And that's where, Brother Ricky, all of us are going to die. Before God. Now, I want you to look about this new cart just a minute. And could I have you mind just a few seconds on these thoughts? This new cart, I want you to notice, first of all, the approach. It saved labor. But there was no sacrifice. God designed to carry this box on four men's shoulders. And you know, it seemed like this new cart and its approach, it saved a lot of labor. You know, there's nothing like going to take place of sacrifice.
God honors sacrifice. And don't you never forget. Matter of fact, this morning, I looked at my watch. This morning at 8:30, I said, honey, I'm laying back down. I don't feel good. Man, I got on them covers. You know what she said? She said, man, this feels good, don't it? About 5 to 9, I opened one eye and I looked at the clock. And I got to thinking, it'd be easy to lay there and call Brother Mike, my assistant, say, Brother Mike, preach, I don't feel good. But I'm glad I got on up and come. God honor sacrifice. Some of you drove 50 miles. I'd hate to know you wasted gas to get out here this morning. God honor sacrifice. We see the approach of this new car. Oh, it saved labor. And then not only the approach, but the appeal. It was a new cart and it looked good. Now we live in a world where we have these new carts that in their appeal, they look good. Promotional methods and entertainment. Prizes in order to stir up excitement. Have you noticed these big old built up boys, they get up and do their weightlifting on the stage? Can I ask you what that's got to do with the Bible? You know, for long, they'll be taking the flyers off the communion table and laying Sunday school superintendent on the table and getting a blind swordsman put a watermelon on his belly and cut a watermelon in half. Let them have Dunk the Preacher Day. Bring in a dunking booth in the parking lot. And if we can have 500 Sunday school, we're going to let everybody throw a baseball at their poor old preacher. Boy, it appeals. It was a new cart, something new and something entertaining. What happened to preaching? What happened to throwing your hands up and saying, Lord, thank you for saving me? Oh, my, they got them a new cart. I know a bunch of boys got them a new cart. Amen. Hallelujah, son. The approach. And the appeal. It looks good. And then the attraction. Attraction. Man, they got a new cart. Now they tell in the gospel they just changed the method. What about that? Boy, I hope they turn that. Don't cut me off that radio. Don't reach and turn that dial. You going over there in flim flam churches, don't you turn that dial off. Don't think about reaching up and turning that. You need to hear what I'm preaching to you on the radio this morning. Some boys got them a new cart and it's shiny right now, but it's going to bring death to your family. And it's pulled by a bunch of bull. I had to say it. I couldn't help it. I had to say it. I seen it. I had to say it. I can't help it. Redneck come out. I had to say it. But y'all don't understand it. Said it's pulled by two oxen. Lord, I'm glad it didn't say two donkeys. Hallelujah! Ain't we having a good time this morning? Praise God, I ain't got a smile out of some of you. Ain't never smiled. Praise God. A new cart. It's approach, it's appeal, it's attraction. And it's adventure. Oh, it takes us new places. I don't know that we need to go anywhere this Bible don't take us. And its achievements. Did you see where it stumbled? I love it. What a spiritual application. I'm closing. It stumbled
at the threshing floor. You know what that was? That cart is doing all right till it hit hard times. You know, this crowd, if somebody can hot dog them in, they can hamburger them out. Hard times hit and it stumbled. What's the threshing floor? It was cobblestones. It was places that stood up about this high that was very uneven. And they would bring their wheat, Brother Jerry, and their barley, and they'd throw it out on this threshing floor, and they would stomp it on these stones and grind it. And then they would take and they would sift the wheat. What happened though? That new cart couldn't take them roots. God, I love this. I don't know if y'all ready to go get chicken, but I love this sermon this morning. I wish I'd seen it in Mississippi. I'd preach it out there. You see, these things is flying pretty good right now, honey, but you let hard times hit, and you're going to need something beside a new wagon and a bull. Matter of fact, there was a whole lot of things showed on the new cart and the bull, but not much attention paid to praying or preaching. And when you get down there in them hard ruts of life and you get down there in that trouble, honey, you're going to need something beside a cart. You're going to need the presence of God to get your family through there. I'm glad I stayed out of that deer stand yesterday and stayed in my study. Somebody say amen. Some of y'all wish I'd went deer hunting instead of this message, don't you? God, it's so good. Just got to sit down and think about it a minute. That's something when your sermon just got bigger than what you say. That's unbelievable. It done all right till it hit the threshing time. We don't need entertainment. That's what the movie houses is for. That's what the bowling alley. That's what the golf course is for. Entertain. Church has never been intended to entertain nobody. We're here to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. You say, man, we went to church down there. They preach down there. Well, duh. They sing old songs down there. Duh. Here's your sign. Said church out yonder. A needful concern, a normal condition, a noble congregation, a new cart. You notice how sin does. This is what one old Puritan said. He said, you know what happened? He said, it's hard to get the world even out of leadership. David had been around the Philistines so long. This was the Philistines' method. They brought that cart back to Israel on a cart and oxen. The Bible said it did. And David got them things out of the world and brought them back in God's house, and it don't work. And did you notice the process how sin does? First of all, they put it on a cart. One sin leads to another sin. Then they touched it. That's just like us in our life. That's why exactly. You listen to me, family. You listen to your preacher this morning. You start leaning. And you know what? Anything I've always been taught, if it ever starts leaning, you better fix it or it's going to fall. And this is what kills me about young families. They'll get excited about Jesus. They're faithful in the church house. Hard times come. And they start leaning. And before long, you know what you're going to say? Where'd they go? Where did they go? One sin makes it easy to have another sin. Lastly, watch this. It's going to help you if you get it. The last point this morning on this sermon I want to share is this. Not on the new cart, but notice this noted contrast. Look what happened. The Bible said, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? Miss Julie, would you come? So David brought not the ark home to himself, but look what he does. He didn't bring it
to the city of David, but he carried it aside in the house of Obedom, the Gittite. In verse 14, this is where we'll close this sermon. The ark of God remained with the family of Obedom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obedom and all that he had. What are you saying, preacher? Well, I can give you another verse over there. 90 days. Can you imagine that husband and wife looking at that table saying, you remember how that meal barrel over there used to be empty? So you remember when God saved you, said he'd come in our house, and Daddy, look how he's blessed us. Man, I can remember. Brother John, me and this woman started out a little single-wide trailer. It'd be so hot in there, Angie, the candles would reach down and they'd touch the TV. It's so hot in that little old place. I've seen times that I said, Lord, I don't know how we're going to make it. But you know what? The Lord saved me. And he come to live in my house. And Lord God, am I a blessed man. Not only did he get me out of that little old trailer, and it'd been fine, but he's given me things money can't buy. Brother Randall, he's given me friends. Brother Tim, he's given me new family. Have you noticed, oh boy, since he's come live down your house, how things have picked up down where you live?
Yes, sir.
He said, ever since. Can you imagine a little boy say, hey, Daddy? Matter of fact, this is something right here. David come to get Daddy's house, Brother Philip. And you know what Daddy said? We ain't staying here. We're going with it. Look at it in your Bible. He said, my God, how can I do without this? Can I tell you, he makes a difference at your house. You know how I know? Because he's made a difference in my house. Lord God, I think about old John, Miss Gail. God saved John. We went over to the cabin and stayed the night this week, and we bowed our head and prayed over our fish. Talk about spiritual things. Angie, you've seen a difference in your daddy and your mama. He makes a difference, Brother Troy. Brother Ricky, he does make a difference. Miss Peggy, glory, hallelujah. I'm glad he makes a difference. He said, David took it over and put it in his house. He said, it blessed everything in his house. Some of you young'uns, you know why you blessed this morning. You know why some of you young'uns that's grown is blessed? Because God come to your mom and daddy's house. And therefore, you've been blessed. Brother Dennis, every customer coming to the gate down there at that old car lot yesterday, you know why? It ain't cause of what you can do. It's cause the God of this Bible said, I'm going to go over and live at his house. Is he at your house today? Do you need him on your situation? I can tell you how. Come ask him, Lord. Come to my house today. While we sing, would you just mind the Lord? Whatever you need, you got a situation. You got something you need, you just come. Ask the Lord, he'll help you with it.